We're continuing our thoughts in the book of Romans, and in particular, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, dealing with the resurrection from the dead. I guess we will be doing some review as we study this, but that's part of the price of learning the scriptures, is review. If you never review anything, you will forget it. I know that that when I was memorizing the scripture, that had to go on all the time, and I had to go back and review verses that I had memorized. You know why? My basket's got holes in it. It's a sieve, and they just run through. So anyway, repetition is important for us to really learn the scriptures. I want to read verses 1 through 7 of Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that I would like for us to reflect upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit more. I've enjoyed studying about this, and I thought I had something real good, the Lord helped me to be careful with it. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is probably manyfold. And one of the blessings of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is that he became our high priest. And becoming our high priest is very significant. I've added some notes to my notes that I'm going to share with you, but it's notes that you already, or verses that you already have. In fact, the matter, I was just looking at the notes that I pulled out of my Bible, and I found that I was going to say, man, those notes aren't what I put down to go over, and they weren't. They were underneath. So, anyway, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is significant because he became our high priest. We need him at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. If we want to go to our Heavenly Father, there's only one way to go, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not for salvation. That's for help in time of need. It's for grace. It's for strength. It's for wisdom. By the way, let me just share this with you. James tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Well, let me tell you, God doesn't give wisdom to a man that doesn't fear him. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And you don't fear God, you think God's going to give you any wisdom? Well, you haven't made the first step. But anyway, the point is this. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. In Acts 13:33, it says that God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. I want you to have that phrase. This day have I begotten thee. Thou art a son. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, where it says, "Also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from Acts 13 tells us that he raised him from the dead to be our high priest. And you have to have those two verses of scripture to go together. That's the reason why it's line upon line, line upon line. You just don't want to stick in one place all the time. There are a lot of churches today that when they have a lesson, they don't want you to move out of those verses. Because it might be revealing that what they're teaching isn't really what it says. But anyway, Ephesians 1 also tells us that not only is he our high priest, but he has mighty power. And we need a intercessor that has authority and power and not just talk. When we think about all of that's been going on in the sports arena, there's a lot of talk and a little performance. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has told us and he will perform. And Ephesians chapter 1 verses 19 and 20 it says, he wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, present active, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus Christ is in the heavenlies. He's at the right hand of God the Father, and he's there with power. And not only that was he raised to the right hand of the Father to intercede on our behalf, but he's there that we might stand approved. In Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was raised for our justification. Now, his resurrection is out from the dead ones. It's very interesting here that the preposition ek, which is out from, comes before the word resurrection. It doesn't go with the word like out resurrection, like we have in Philippians chapter 3. But this is a resurrection out from among the dead ones. This is the word dead is plural. And this resurrection is twofold. One to be our high priest, and then another to rule and reign. We've been talking about the fact that he was raised to rule and reign from the heavens over the earth during the millennium. Now this combination of words, ek, or out from, resurrection, and the dead, that combination of words is not very frequent in the New Testament. And one of the places that it's found is one we've looked at before, and that's in Luke chapter 20, verses 35 and 36. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that age, that is the millennial kingdom, and you have to be counted worthy or qualified to obtain something in that age. And this verse tells us what we can obtain. And the resurrection out from the dead ones. This is the phrase that we're talking about in Romans 1:4. Not necessarily in the same order, but the words out, resurrection, and dead ones. What I was thinking about, or the thing that I thought about, was that I'm going to share with you a little bit, but I'm going to have to be careful with it. Is the fact that when we think about Jesus Christ's resurrection, our resurrection, when we think about Lazarus, Lazarus was raised from the dead. And the apostles and the 70 went about raising people from the dead. This is not the resurrection that we're talking about. those people, Lazarus, lived again and died. And so therefore, when we're talking about the resurrection, we're talking about a resurrection that has heavenly implications, heavenly blessings, heavenly opportunities, just like we're talking about here in Luke chapter 20. It says, and if we're counted worthy to obtain the age and the resurrection out from the dead ones, just like Jesus Christ did, when he was raised from the dead and made a king, or he's high priest now, but he one day he'll be a king, ruling and reigning from the heavens. Neither marry or are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, back in Luke again. For they are equal unto angels, and they are the sons of God, being the sons of the resurrection. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, declared to be the Son of God. When we are qualified to obtain the privileges of the age to come, and we are raised out of the ones that have the dead ones, we will be known as sons of God, and we too will be kings, because he is the King of Kings, and we may be lords because he is the Lord of Lords. And so therefore it's important for us to see what God did for Jesus Christ. He'll do it for us as well. That's the issue. In Acts chapter 26, verse 23, it says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. I thought Lazarus was raised before Jesus Christ was raised. It's interesting. Lazarus' resurrection or being raised is not the same as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now it's interesting. I quoted the verse in our notes, Acts 26:23, so you can see it. But I also have put that note in here for some insight into that verse. It's not evident on the surface. It says that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first. This word first is also translated best or chief. And the word that should rise is not in the text, but what is there is the word resurrection. Christ should suffer, and that he should be in the first or best resurrection. Where? Out from the dead ones. And should show light, that is to declare, present active, infinitive, that's in the Greek text, unto the people. This is the nation of Israel that he is showing light unto, and to the Gentiles. Now I put a little note in here. These Jews and Gentiles are those that are in the family that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Jesus is part of the first resurrection. In fact, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, he is the first fruits of the best resurrection. Now, I didn't include that verse in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 6, but I'm going to turn over to it and read it to you. Where it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first or best resurrection. On such a second death shall have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus Christ is participated in the best resurrection. He's just there early compared to us. He's the first fruits. And the first fruits is plural. So who are the others that were part of that first fruits? It seems like that they are the ones who were raised from the dead when Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. He didn't come out alone. He came out with a group of others. And he is part of the best resurrection, and he is sharing with us light. And he is declaring to us. I'm showing you the two things. Declaring has to do with ears, and showing has to do with sight. Okay? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from the dead ones." The little word EK is in that passage of Scripture, talking about the out resurrection. He is part of that resurrection that provides us with what? A living hope. Without his resurrection, in that capacity, we would not have a living hope. We would have no hope. We couldn't go to the Father. Without Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, we couldn't go to the Father, because you can't get to him any other way except through the Lord. So his out resurrection from the dead ones provides us a living hope. And the reason why it's a living hope is because of 1 Peter 1:21, who by him, that is, the Lord, do believe, present active, in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. It happened to Jesus Christ. We have that example. Why did God give us that? And why did God let us know about that? So that our hope would be in the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave him glory. If our hope is alive and living, and it causes us to live in a way that would qualify us to obtain that resurrection, then we will enjoy the blessings of the coming kingdom. This is incentive to be faithful to the Lord. A lot of people think that just getting saved is all you need. But you know what? Getting saved is just the first step. Then God wants you to live a faithful life. You don't want to live in sin. You want to be faithful in reading His Word. You want to read the Scriptures. Not just the Word of God, you want the whole counsel of God. The Word of God is the butter fat, and you gotta have some milk too. You know, you can't, whenever you melt, at least the butter that we get, whenever you melt butter in the microwave, you see the milk that's in there too. You know, you get both at the same time. But anyway, so, God gave him glory, and so therefore our hope is in God that he will also raise us up from the dead and give us glory. Of course, what he gave him was a throne in Acts 2:20 or 2:30 and 32. This is by way of review. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, that is David's loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul shall not be left in the grave. Jesus Christ, by the way, didn't go to hell. A lot of people think that Jesus Christ went to hell and suffered our hell for him. How could he go to hell when he told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise"? Can you imagine Jesus Christ dragging that poor thief through hell on the way to paradise? No. Jesus Christ, this is the word here, this word hell is actually the grave. And he raised up Christ to sit on the throne, seeing this before he spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would be not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus of God raised up, where we are all witnesses. And I think that's important. I am so glad that the apostles and 500 others witnessed that resurrection. You know, all of this resurrection stuff could have gone on behind the scenes. You know what I mean? No one saw Jesus go into paradise except the thief that was on the cross, right? I mean, nobody, in fact, somebody had to tell John to write about it and the others. But they were witnesses of his resurrection, his being raised. Then And what is that being raised up? I believe it has to do with being raised up in the seventh day for us. In John 6:39-40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, that is the Father, may have age-lasting life. This hasn't anything to do with salvation. This has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ. And I will raise him up the last day. It's very important for us to see the Son, not physically. We have to see the Son where he is. It's the Son of God that was raised into the heavenlies to be at the right hand of the Father. Did you know that we can crucify to ourselves the Son of God afresh? And you know what happens when we deny the Son? We will suffer shame. And so we need to see the Son. We need to see the Son of who he is and where he is and what he is there for and what he stands for. And we also need to believe on the Father that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that he will do the same for us. We need to believe that. Present tense. By the way, the seeing is in the present tense, and the believing is also in the present tense. And it says that we may have life for the age. If there comes a time in our life when we abandon the Son as our high priest, and we quit believing what the Father wrote about him and what the Father did for him, we may not have life for the age. We may not rule and reign with Christ. We may not be raised up in the last day. It says in the latter part of this verse, verse 40, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the seventh day, the millennium. And this raising up, I don't see it necessarily as a resurrection, but I see it as a promotion in the kingdom to rule and reign with Christ. Paul desired that in Philippians chapter 3. And verses 14 and 15. Paul says, Philippians chapter 3 verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, this is where the word out resurrection is first. Before, or is the preposition before the word Anastasius. The out resurrection. One word. And it's out from the dead ones. Again, we find the word ek. Before the dead ones. It's interesting here, and I'm going to point this out, and it can be developed probably further, but this little word resurrection comes from a Greek word, Anastasius. Anna means again. And stasius is to stand. To stand once and then stand again. We just got through reading in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he hath begotten us again. It has a little prefix, A-N-A, before the word begotten. He begot us once and then he has begotten us again. The same thing that happened in Jesus Christ's life. He was born King of the Jews. And then he was begotten again when he became our high priest. So when I think about resurrection, I think about being caught up out of the grave or raised up out of the grave and then raised again in the heavenlies. A second resurrection to a position of honor and glory. And so Paul desired to have that extra resurrection out from among those dead ones. I think of the dead ones are those who perish, who lost their life. Why? Because they had other priorities in their life other than the coming kingdom. They weren't seeking first the coming kingdom. They were seeking security and wealth and prestige and honor of man more than the honor of God. So Paul desired that out resurrection. I think that verse 14 and 15 tells us what that out-resurrection meant to Paul. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize. He wanted to qualify to obtain that age. And that mark or the prize is the above calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. In other words, if you're mature, you're going to be thinking along this lines. If you're immature, you're not going to be making plans for the high calling. In fact, you'll be, if you aren't planning for this, but you have been always sitting at the head table, and there are people that have, man. here on the earth, I don't sit at the head table in any event that I've ever gone to. I've always been out at the bottom. But you know what? That's the best place to be when the Lord sets up a marriage feast. In fact, that's what he says in Luke 14:10. For when thou art bidden to a marriage, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he that bade thee cometh, and he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have glory. The word worship is really the word that should be translated glory, in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. In other words, you're going to be sitting with those who have glory. You're not the only one that's got the glory. There are others that are sitting at the head table. They're going to have the glory. But you know what? We need to wait for the invitation to go up higher. And Paul wanted that invitation to go up higher. And that's the reason why he pressed toward the mark. And you know where the mark is here in Luke chapter 14? The last table. Because he that is last will one day be what? First. Absolutely. So the mark is to be last, to be servant. And so that's the mark that we need to be pressing toward. Now, he was raised from the dead. I want to reflect upon that a little bit. The word dead, of course, is plural, dead ones. In Luke chapter 24, verses 9 through 11, this is a passage of scripture that tells us that the apostles didn't believe them. They were listening to women preachers because they had been down at the tomb, and they didn't believe them women preachers. No reflection on ladies. I'm just kidding a little bit here. But it was the women that went down to care for the Lord. Not the men, the women. They went to the tomb, and that's where they found out that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now let's just read here. Luke 24, verse 9. And returned from the sepulcher, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You know what? They saw with their eyes, those ladies did. There was no question about the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. But you know what? The apostles didn't believe it. But you know what? They did finally believe it. In Luke chapter 24, verse 39, Jesus appeared in their midst, and he says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see. And then it says in John 20:20, and when he had said so, or so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They saw him. They needed a physical witness. And God knew that we needed that physical witness. He didn't have to show them that he was raised from the dead. He knew he was raised from the dead. He knew where his position was going to be at the right hand of the Father. But you know what? He made sure that we knew, and the apostles knew, and then of course we would know because they were right about it, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead physically. He showed them his hands and his feet. In fact, Thomas still struggled, even though the other apostle says, "Come on, Thomas, we saw him." And what does Thomas say? "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." In John 20, verse 25. "But he said unto them," that is Thomas, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, "Peace be unto you." I think it's interesting to, I'm just going to reflect on this a little bit. I think God made sure that Thomas wasn't around when he was in their midst. You know what? He had something he wanted to teach you and me. You know? He made sure that Thomas wasn't there. Now, isn't that interesting? Thomas wasn't included. Did you know there are times when we are not included in situations? Precious situations. What a precious event and experience it would be to be in the presence of the Lord after His resurrection and to see the nail holes in His hands and His feet. But God said, "Thomas, you're not going to get to do that till later." Doubting Thomas. So He goes on. And after 8 days, again, His disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And then said He to Thomas. You know, He didn't give a Bible lesson. He got to the point. He got down to Thomas's problem. "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believing." That's the lesson that God wanted, or the Lord wanted to teach who? Not Thomas, but you and me. We are blessed over the apostles. We are blessed over Thomas. We are blessed because we believe because of what they wrote, what God told them to write. We are blessed, they weren't. You know what? We've got something that they didn't get. We believe, we have faith that He was raised from the dead. The apostles, they didn't need faith. You know why? They saw Him. When you see, you don't need faith. In fact, when you see, if you happen to see the Lord Jesus, some people claim that they have, you know what happens? If you've seen Him, your life of faith is over. You can no longer please God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And if you see, faith is gone. But God said to Thomas, "You saw, you had to see before you believe." But you know what? Those who believe without seeing are the ones that are going to be blessed. Now, Christ had risen from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see others that saw Him. And it says then in verse 4, "And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that He was seen of James, and then also the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul saw Him. And Paul wrote about that. Why? So we would believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and that He is at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? They preached that. The apostles went out preaching. not only the apostles, but the deacons and others went out preaching in Acts chapter 4, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection out from among the dead ones. This is another place where all three of those words are included. They preached the resurrection out from the dead ones. You know what I think that's talking about? They not only preached the fact that he rose from the dead, but he also rose from the dead that those who are faithful to him will also rule and reign with him in his coming kingdom. I think that's included in that because of the combination of the words. The out resurrection from the dead ones. And then closing in verse Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. When you're preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to include preaching about ruling and reigning with Christ in his coming kingdom, because that's part of it. And you know what? To teach and to preach that, you need great grace to do that. You need peace and you need the power of Christ to rest upon you. Because there's opposition to that message today. May the Lord help us to see the Son daily, moment by moment, and believe the Father raised him from the dead and gave him glory. And you know what? If you'll do that faithfully, you'll be there too, ruling and reigning with Christ in his coming kingdom. Father, we just pray that you'll bless the message to each of our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged, to be faithful to you, of pressing toward the mark for the prize of the above calling that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Seeing that mark as being last, so that one day we can be first. Thank you again for your faithfulness in honoring your word. And we just believe what you have told us, Father. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.